Blog Talk Radio.
Team fly. That's right, y'all. What's up, my flynistas and my flynistos? You know what it is? It's time for my show again, my review of the Atlanta Housewives Season 6. This is Episode 5, all right? And I am your host, Z-Fly, all right? You know, there's a lot of flyness going on this show, ain't it? You know what I'm saying? I tell you, but that's how you got to keep it. F-L-Y, all day, every day. All right, y'all. So here I am with my review of Episode 5 of the Atlanta Housewives. And it was a pretty interesting episode, as y'all know, especially with Mama Joyce. I tell you, Mama Joyce, obviously she must want her own show. Because my Mama Joyce is gone off the deep end, okay? You know what I'm saying? My thing is, she's acting worse than she did whenever Phaedra had brought out Ridiculous at Candy's birthday party. I mean, what is wrong with Mama Joyce? But I'm going to say Mama Joyce for later. We talk about that crazy chick later. That is wrong to call somebody Mama crazy. I take that back. I'm sorry. We shall talk about Mama Joyce later, okay? But let's talk about Kenya right now. So as y'all know, Kenya, she was moving into her new place. You know what I'm saying? Miss Lawrence was helping her move in, and you know what I'm saying? They got into that text about the infamous text to Apollo or whoever sent it. You know what I'm saying? But you know, she was talking about that. You know, about how Candy isn't everybody's business, you know what I'm saying? Candy really shouldn't be in it, but Candy's in it because Candy put herself in it because Candy's nosy. And if she don't know by now that Candy's nosy, she will never know. But, you know, so that's basically, you know, what was going on. She was moving in and talking about the text and Apollo and Phaedra and, you know, what everybody thinks and stuff like that. But speaking of Phaedra, she really had nothing going on this episode once again. You know, she was going to Alabama, you know, for her exams and mortician, you know what I'm saying? So she met with her classmates to speak on the morbid. I mean, that's basically what was going on with her, you know. So they were talking about, you know, different people dying and, I guess, you know, different things they've seen. I mean, really? You know, I mean, it's really not funny. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I guess the crazy thing is just what makes it on TV these days. Like, that's interesting, showing somebody going to Alabama to the mortician class and then sitting around with their classmates talking about how they have, you know what I'm saying, whatever you call it, what do you call it, you know, that stuff they do when somebody's dead. I forgot what you call it. But that's interesting. Okay, I know I'm going to Phaedra do a little bit better than what she's doing. Because her storyline this year is laughable. And you know what? It's laughable to say her storyline. Because isn't this supposed to be reality TV? And then whenever we say storyline, it sounds like they're acting. But they really are, in a way. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you really think about it. You got cameras following you around. You really can't be yourself. I mean, maybe after a while, it does just start to be natural and you forget about the cameras. But still, you kind of know they're there. You know what I'm thinking? How can you not know they're there with all that lighting and people and producers and people walking around? I mean, I don't know. They say it's reality, but I don't know. I don't know how real it actually is. Do y'all agree with me? Okay. All right. So now Portia, you know, Portia, she met with her sister and her mom, and you know, so she's about to go see a realtor. It's funny how, like, this season, a lot of people are moving. Kenya's moving, you know, so she needs a new place. Portia's, she got to move because she got kidnapped by her husband. And so now Portia is, you know, so she's trying to go see a realtor. And, you know, they're checking out different places and everything. And, you know, these women who be living by themselves, they want these big old houses, don't they? And I'd be trying to think, why you need such a big house? You're a little woman. You ain't got no man. And you got, a dog living with you? The dog was so little that it looked like a rat. You know what I'm saying? You might as well have a gerbil. And they want these big houses. I mean, you know, some people could say, you know, they do it because they try to impress people and show people, oh, look, I got money, I can buy this. Then, on the other hand, it could just be maybe that's just their style. Maybe there's, like, big houses. But it's just like, why spend so much money if it's just you? You know what I'm saying? That's just how I see it. But then the sad thing is, instead of being the independent woman that she desperately needs to be, she started having second thoughts. And she's like, well, you know, maybe she needs to, you know, keep living with her mom. And her mom has no problem with that. You know, her mom's like, yeah, sure, come back and live with me. You know, who's going to cook you breakfast? And that's her problem, you know. Portia needs to get out on her own and be independent. She's not independent. She has a big problem, you know. Excuse me. She has a big problem because she's been under her mom's wing so long, you know, treating her like a little Barbie doll, a little baby, that now when she gets with the man, that's how she thinks. That's how she continues to act, like a little baby. Like, you know what I'm saying? She don't have a mind of her own. She don't have anything. Do y'all get what I'm telling y'all? She has nothing. So, and then now, whenever she can finally have the chance to have something, she's scared to step out there and have something. Now she's still going to stay with her mom. I don't think that's helping her case. It's just making her more and more weak. So that's what's going on with Portia, y'all. NeNe and Cynthia, you know what I'm saying, they went shopping or whatever. And basically, you know, before, you know, Cynthia, her child Noelle, was talking about how, you know, she had a little boyfriend, and Cynthia was kind of, you know, she got alarmed, like, oh, no, my baby's growing up or whatever. And, you know, she was asking questions, and, you know, she was trying to think of the best way, you know what I'm saying, to handle the situation. So she was asking NeNe, and she was talking about, you know, how Noelle is, you know, starting to see a man or whatever. And NeNe tells Cynthia that she doesn't need to let, you know, Britt date at 13. But my thing is this right here. So, well, hold on. First of all, also NeNe was talking about Glee and, you know, starting later due to death of the cast member. You know, the guy that died, he killed himself, you know, in the show Glee. So, you know, NeNe was just talking about, you know, how that's going to start later. So, in other words, NeNe ain't got no job. So, now she got a lot of time to be in Cynthia's business. So, anyway, so NeNe was just telling, you know, how that she don't think that Cynthia should let Brittany date until she's date at age 13. But then Cynthia was like, well, you know, she don't want to be one of those old moms that be like, no, you can't date, no, you can't see a man, no, you can't come, you can't go out, you can't do nothing until you're like 35 years old. And then, you know what I'm saying, then the child's like, wait a minute now, you know, so I want to have fun, I want to be in the in crowd. So then they start sneaking out and doing it anyway. So that's why Cynthia wants to be a little lenient and, you know, let her have a little boyfriend. Now, NeNe don't think so. Now, I'm gonna give you my opinion. My opinion is I kind of agree with Cynthia. I do agree that, you know, she's 13 now. She's now a teenager. You know what I'm saying? But basically, she's probably gonna start hitting puberty if she hasn't already. She, you know what I'm saying? She likes the opposite sex. She's starting to like boys. So I think it's okay if at 13 you have supervised, you know what I'm saying, dates with your children. You know, so, like, if she wants to have, like, a super, you know, let her child date, you know, have a little boyfriend or whatever you want to call it, but let it be supervised. I'm not saying, okay, have a little boyfriend and he go to your house and you go to his house alone. No, like, I mean, I think you could have it supervised. NeNe is one person, there's nobody to talk. She has a son who is now robbing from Walmart, who has a child out of wedlock, and he ain't got nothing going on for himself. But then she gonna try to tell somebody else what they need to do with their child. But see, but that's how NeNe is. That's her character. Her oldest son is doing nothing. He has been in the paper and on the news for robbing Walmart. Okay, he burglarizes Walmart. So that, you know what I'm saying, she can act all tough and bad, like she don't care, but she care. That's not nothing how you want your child to go down by robbing Walmart on razors. Now she making all that money, she's so rich, but then your son is stealing from Walmart of all places. So now she's gonna try to tell Cynthia what she needs to do with her daughter, and then it's really sad, you know what I'm saying, because I feel like maybe NeNe should have had supervised, you know what I'm saying, visits or what. I mean maybe NeNe should have supervised her son's whenever he was dating at 13. Maybe he wouldn't be so wild, but she was so wild herself, going down the pole, making money, just being a wild hoe. So now she's going to try to tell Cynthia something. So anyway, so I think that Cynthia, you know what I'm saying, she's doing the right thing by, you know what I'm saying, by you know, by wanting to have supervised visits. I keep saying visits, not visits, but wanting to supervise Noelle's, you know, dating thing. All right, so anyway, so then, you know, later, while they was at, you know, preparing Cynthia, while Cynthia was, you know, preparing her shop and, you know, everything, the Cynthia, the Bailey agency, getting it together, Apollo stops by. He wants to talk to Peter or whatever about Phaedra and Kenya. So, you know, he had told Peter, you know, what happened with Kenya and how Phaedra felt about it. And, you know, he told Phaedra about, hey, you know, I could have smashed it if I wanted to. So then Peter tells Apollo that, you know, he should have been more on Phaedra's side. Why? Hello, that is your wife, or have you forgotten just because big booty Kenya walked by? So now you don't forget who your wife is. You know what I'm saying? The girl, you know, the woman you got two kids with, two little boys, two adorable boys. Yeah, that woman, the lawyer lady. Remember her? Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? So basically Peter was like, you know, you should have been more her side. You know what I'm saying? You got to kind of put Kenya in her place, and you got to step up and be the husband that you are, or that you're supposed to be, or whatever. So that's just how that went. So, I guess Apollo will take heed to it. I don't know. You know how Apollo is. You know, one minute you think I don't know. He's so quiet. You got to look out for them quiet ones, too, because they're sneaky. So, anyway, so later on, Cynthia had told Peter about, you know, Noelle's new boyfriend, and then here he go. Well, you know. And you know what? Here's what get on my nerves about guys. Here's what get on my nerves about the male species is whenever they was young, like Peter, I'm sure that he was horrible. You know what I'm saying? Trying to have sex with all kinds of women. You know what I'm saying? Well, not women, but girls. Trying to have sex with all kinds of girls. You know what I'm saying? Wanting to be the big Mac daddy on the block or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Being very promiscuous, I'm sure. Now, when they grow up, and now they see the error of their ways, and now one of, like, girls that they care for, like he cares for Cynthia's daughter, now he want to protect her to the fullest, which I think is right, okay? I'm not saying that it's wrong, but it just gets on my nerves because it's almost like a hypocrite, because it's almost like, and when you was young, you were doing the same thing that you're scared of now. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'd be like, you know, these young cats, I mean, they don't think in the future. You know, they just think of the now and the present. But that's why you got to watch out what you do to other people's daughters, because when you grow up one day, you may have sisters or you may have a daughter of your own, and now you don't want guys to treat them and run over them the way you did women. You know what I'm saying? See, that's what gets on my nerves. It's like a hypocrite thing. But, I mean, I get it. You know, he wants to look out for Noelle. I get that. You know, you definitely look out for your wife's daughter. But it's like, at the same time, don't be too hard on the guy that she's trying to date, because you got to think you was once him and how you felt. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, like, just be lenient and let them be in a room together either, but I'm saying don't try to intimidate him to a point where it's like, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, he don't even want to date the girl because he's scared of you. You got to think of how you were. That's how I look at it, okay? So he actually did interrogate the poor boy. His name is Arthur. He interrogated him, so I guess he put the fear of God in him, or should I say the fear of Peter in him. How about scared of Peter? Peter is a man who don't even know what he ain't got his own business together, okay? Money low, having to sell his business. He has a lot of problems, so am I scared of Peter? So anyway, but it was nice that Cynthia and the mom did speak. So actually, I like what Cynthia is doing. I like that she is involved in her daughter's first date experiences. I like that, you know, it's supervised, because at 13, you shouldn't be by yourself with a guy. At 13, a guy shouldn't be by himself with a girl. You're only 13. Why y'all need to be alone for? Y'all still children. You know what I'm saying? Really, you shouldn't be dating. But, you know, obviously, you know, puberty's kicking in, so you can't help yourself. So, okay, cool. You know, we're not going to fight puberty. It's a natural thing, but you need to be supervised. Okay? You come, you know, y'all play games together, go out, picnic, or, you know, go out, arcade, go to a movie, but your parents going to be there. Okay? Y'all don't need to be alone. Period. And so I agree. So I give much kudos to Cynthia, the way she's handling her daughter. All right, so now let's move to the Burris household, Miss Candy Burris. So, you know, she's talking with her friend Carmen about, you know, Mama Joy's feelings on Todd and, you know, just how it just put a damper on things. You know, Candy is at a point in her life where she wants to be happy. She wants to have the man. She wants to have the mama that's happy. She wants to have the daughter that's happy. She wants to have the career. She wants to do good. And it's not all peaches and cream because her mama just can't stand Todd. So Carmen tells Candy that, you know, she needs to either let her mom go or either, you know what I'm saying, because she don't, she's going to lose Todd. You know what I'm saying? Because I guess at the end, you know, there's just so much that Todd will put up with, basically. You know, it's really hard whenever you try to love somebody but the family disapproves. You know, you can always say, well, hey, you know, I don't care what the family thinks. I love, you know, the daughter, but at the same time, you kind of do want, you know, like in the back of your mind, you always want that family approval because that's the family that you're marrying into, and you don't want to be like, okay, fine, we got married, but I can't go to your side of the family because they hate me, they don't want to see me, you know what I'm saying? So in the back of his mind, it does really make it difficult. So Todd comes home, and you know what I'm saying, they were speaking on how Mama Joyce feels or whatever, and Todd is getting very frustrated, you know, with how she feels. So they made plans to speak with Mama Joyce, you know, invite her over to dinner or whatever. So Mama Joyce, she did come over for dinner, and it was so awkward. And that was, I know for Todd, that had to be the awkwardest dinner that he ever had, because Mama Joyce, she don't back down, she ain't never scarred, and she looking at Todd like, okay, why are you still here? Like, haven't I intimidated you enough that you want to just break up with her and go to somebody else? So, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, they were doing like a little small talk or whatever, and Mama Joyce really wasn't feeling him, and I think she had said that, like, you know, she would try or something like that, but basically she was just saying that, you know, there ain't no mountain high enough, there ain't no river, no ocean deep enough to make her stop having questions about him and being suspicious of him. So that right there really doesn't set too well with Todd. You know what I'm saying? She already saying that, you know what I'm saying, I'm never going to like you or I'm never going to stop being suspicious of you. So anyway, so she goes in on Carmen and how she, you know, how she's there all the time. She feels like Carmen is there. She feels like probably Carmen and Todd is hooking up behind Candy's back. And she calls Todd thrifty. I mean, she really think that Todd is there for Candy's money. She think that Todd is there to come up. And you know what? I mean, now, I'm not saying that Todd is there for all that. But what I am going to say is, just hypothetically, you know, just for humor, if he was there for that, it wouldn't be a surprise. Because, you know, women do it all the time. Women get with men to come up. You know, Candy is successful. Candy is on a very, very popular reality TV show. You know, I think the Atlanta Housewives is the most popular out of all the franchises. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, women do all the time. You know what I'm saying? Women get with men who are successful to come up so that they can get their ground, you know what I'm saying, get their feet on the ground. I'm not saying Todd is doing this, but I'm saying if he was doing this, it won't surprise me because, you know, Kenny has a reputation of being a sugar mama and, you know what I'm saying, having men want to come up by her success. So I'm not, I mean, if that was the case, it won't surprise me. You know, maybe Todd really do love her. I don't know. But Mama Joyce also said that he doesn't get stability. She feel like that Candy is giving him stability. Ain't that Candy house that he's staying in? And Mama Joyce also said that that she's a work in process. So she's not saying that she won't ever like him, but she just says it's a work in process, and it's a slowly work in process because she ain't got no type of she don't want to like him. It's basically, she don't want to like him. She don't really care about him. And that's just the truth in the matter to put it. You know what I'm saying? So, So Todd, good luck. Okay, Mama Joyce, she don't like you. She don't care for you, and that's just how it's going to go. I don't know what's going to go on with this family. But anyway, that's my review, y'all. That's what happened in episode 5. You know, basically, Nene, she gave her 2 cents about Cynthia and how she shouldn't let Noelle date, Nene ain't got no job right now. Portia, she's thinking about moving out, but then she took that off the table when she realized that she would miss her mom and her cooking. Cynthia, you know what I'm saying, she is trying to let Noelle, you know, date a little bit, but it's going to be supervised, and I definitely agree with that. Phaedra, you know, she ain't got nothing going on. She's going to take her exams for Morticia. Kenya moved into her new place, and she's still talking about that infamous text, get over it. And, you know, Candy, she's trying to get things straight between the man she loves and the mama she loves by having a dinner, keeping things, you know what I'm saying. And also one thing I'm going to add to that dinner is that Candy, you know, she really don't say much. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know that's her mom, that's her man, so she don't want to say too much to upset one, but you're thinking about living with Todd. You're not thinking about marrying your mom. So I know you love your mom, but you got to kind of put her in her place, Candy, because she putting you on her, and you in your place, she let you know how she feel, what needs to go on and what don't need to go on. So you really got to put Mama Drew, you got to put them in their place, because if you don't, they'll run all over you, tell you how they feel, say what they got to feel, say what they don't need to say, and they don't care. So that is my review for episode 5 of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Please, please, please let me know your thoughts on my review. You can go to my facebook.com/realhotfresh and comment there, or you can send me a tweet at realhotfresh. And definitely subscribe to my YouTube page at youtube.com/realhotfresh, because I have a new YouTube show coming up early part of this year, and it's going to be really hot and fresh. You don't want to miss it. And also hit me up on Instagram at Zacchaeus, that's Z as in zebra, A, C as in cat, Q, I, U, S, okay, at Zacchaeus on Instagram. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this review. Review number 6 will be coming up very soon, so stay tuned for that. I am your boy Z-Fly, and you have kept it real hot and fresh. See y'all next time. Peace.